Hi, my name is Jamie Mackay and I head the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching Programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. And this podcast is part of a series where I ask established arts educators about their practice. In this podcast, I had the pleasure of speaking with Tawona Sitole, better known as Ganya Matope Zapasi. Tawona's ancestral family name inspires him to connect with other people through creativity and the anticipation to learn. A poet, mabira player, storyteller and playwright, Tawona is a co-founder of non-profit arts group Seeds of Thought, a research associate for MIDEQ Global Migration Hub and UNESCO Artist in Residence at the University of Glasgow. As he continues to write, teach and perform, mostly he appreciates his work for the many inspiring people it allows him to meet. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
I'm Tawona Sitole, and I introduced myself using one of the languages I first learned. At the moment, I am based at the University of Glasgow as a research associate and as an artist in residence. And my role in education is using the creative arts, what are known as the creative arts, but for me, they're a mode of learning that is quite natural for the traditions that I hail from. So I use the creative arts as a way of engaging and expanding the language of education.
So when you're working with learners, what is your goal?
My goal is, I think of it in terms of a circle. If we sit in a circle, we can all see each other. The circle is a space that I know very well from my own learning traditions. I come from two learning traditions, what is known as the oral tradition, and I like to spell that as A-U-R-A-L. And I also come from the tradition of the cube, of the classroom. So those traditions are present in my life, and I try to bring those together into a form of abundance that allows me to be in the space and be aware of everyone in the space and honor their presence, their aura, their, you know, trepidations, their worries, concerns. I always try to focus and notice those things so that we can all contribute. And it's fine. Some contribute quietly, some contribute a bit more overtly. But my main goal is that as we share the space, we are all comfortable in that space and we're able to then go on to what can be called as knowledge exchange.
And what barriers get in the way of achieving that goal?
I consider myself to be the potential biggest barrier because in that space, I have to accept my power and my privilege, first of all. So I come with my plan, my intentions, and all of that. And in my enthusiasm, not to be faulted, in my enthusiasm and my determination to get through what my intentions and plans are. So I'm potentially the biggest barrier. And for those in the room, it might be preoccupations with other things, other dust of everyday life on their shins, you know. And it could be confidence, it could be dynamics of the room. And it could be knowledge itself, how knowledge is presented. Sometimes knowledge is presented as something quite frightful. So, you know, the idea of, I think, I have a phrase that I use that, everyday people are inspiring. And it seems that because knowledge is recorded in a certain way, we then think of the greats, this idea of the greats, and it can distance us from our own thinking and our own offering to the body of knowledge.
So what strategies do you use to help you achieve your goal and or deal with these barriers?
I love thinking about the space. The idea I'm working with a lot is acoustics these days. I thought about that a lot because acoustics, I used to talk about sound, because orality, but I realized that acoustics embraces more than the dialogue, but acoustics embrace the space itself. So the space has to be right, and we have to curate that space and make a ritual essence within that space. So arrangement of the room, the furniture, how people are present in the space. That is very important to me. And I always, 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 thanks to Anita Govman, one of my mentors, I love being mentored because I feel like I'm a good mentor for others because I have so many mentors in my life. And yeah, Anita advised me a long while back to say, Tawana, it's quite good to start with a physical exercise before you start a workshop or if there's workshopping those days. So I love that because we need to be in our bodies. I think we forget our bodies sometimes. There's the joke by Ken Robinson that we think of our bodies as transport for our minds. So now the physical stuff is really good. It loosens us up. We get to fall over ourselves and laugh a little bit, and it really changes something.
How do you measure your success as an arts educator?
There are many, because abundance is an important term for me. I'm moving away from the, extra critical eye on things. It's very easy to point and say, oh, this thing is deficient in this. But I feel like the metrics are important because, we need to keep track of things. And there are enough bean counters in the system to keep those numbers, rolling. So that's important. We need to measure it in that way, an assessment and all of that. But I always kind of look at, there's an aura, there's something that you can't really put your finger on, but there's a certain, when you've been in a session, you can see how people feel, smile, think, laugh. It's a big telling. And even the quiet people, because they say in, this wouldn't go without me saying an old proverb here and there, of course. They say, and this saying, it alludes to things manifest in an unpredictable way and over an unpredictable course of time. So we don't know, Jamie, as educators, we don't even know some of the impact we have. You might have a student who sits quiet in your session and you think, oh, is that student okay? But maybe 3 years later, they will do something really based on something they picked from then that they will apply in a situation and it gets them through. So we really, there's a lot we know and there's a lot that we don't know. So I think caretaking is a big thing for me, caretaking for everyone. And I feel if I've done the caretaking, then I feel, yes, I always feel that satisfies me.
How would you describe the ideal relationship between you and a learner?
I have to go back to primary school for this one. This is such an important question because we always say the elders. We always go on about the elders. We Africans like elders. The elders, but the elders have their own elders. I remember my parents when I was a kid. And it was so much fun for me to see when my grandparents would come and they would turn up, Bambo and Ambuya would come, to visit us in Harare. And that is the only time I would see my dad or my mom becoming kids again. Let's say my Bambo would call my dad, by his name, the way he would come running like a 5-year-old boy. Used to love that. And it's something that really reminds me of that relationship with, because when I was in school, it was very much a discipline-centered approach, quite heavily. And then I recognized that, if I become that person, then I am really doing myself a big disservice. So I think the relationship, if you are a good student, it said a lot. If you're a good student, then you are likely to be a good teacher as well. So I always try to think about abundance. People in the room, Being in the room with other people, you are in abundance because people have brought their experiences, their memories, their fears, their worries, anxieties, their anecdotes, their surprises. They've brought that into the room. And our job is to facilitate the space and be open. We need to be porous. So I think, yeah, that one is there's the responsibility that we have. Of course, you are leading, but that responsibility needs to be weaved in with your openness to, looking out for even unexpected things. If you only will notice them if you are open.
What job title are you most comfortable with?
Poet. I think poets have a magic. Poets are mystics. And poets do the same things because knowledge is knowledge. It's treated in so many ways, same as language itself. But poets bring a magic and a beauty to those same words. You know, when we hear a poem, it's not as if we are hearing words that have been invented, but there's a spirit that it comes with. So yeah, my most comfortable description of myself is to say a poet because I've grown up around so many poets, and even today I'm in the presence of so many poets, around so much poetry, and I feel that is the language that most speaks to me, and it's the one that I speak with from the heart.
Thank you. What three values are central to your practice as an arts educator?
I have to say, kudzidza kuphela is the first one. Learning is never done. It's never exhausted. It has no limit. Even the most elderly elder is still learning. So that is the first one. Then we say, huya. Huya, it's a paradoxical proverb. The more we are, the more we have. It goes against this idea of the myth of scarcity. If you turn up, Jamie, at my house, I've just made my dinner, and you turn up, I'm like, oh, Jamie's here. Now I don't have enough to eat. No, you can look at it that way. I can say, oh, Jamie's here. I haven't seen him for years. Let's catch up, and I can't wait to hear what Jamie's been up to. And I know by the time you leave, you've edified me. You've blessed my house with your presence. You've done amazing things for me. So, wonder who you are. Always looking for the abundance. And then I want to say this one as well. Zinonzwa. This is a beautiful one. It says that the ears, they don't go on the field to farm, but they are working. The ears, just by being present, they are working. So I love this one because listening is something that I feel we don't do very well. And it's one of my tasks to really keep learning how to listen better. There's a wonderful talk by Celeste Headlee. She's a journalist, and she talks in she it's titled 10 points to have a good conversation. If you see it, you'll think it's one of those naff things, but she says in one of her points she puts across, she says, we listen to respond rather than listen to understand. And that has stayed with me. So yeah, I think listening in all its ways.
Slightly different question. If you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
Yeah. I would say that I have so many people I admire, and I want to put them into one icon rather than to name a single person. But the people, there are so many, and for those people who are listening to this, they can find their own. I want to put the hero with no name, that I've written a poem called that. The hero with no name is the idea of never giving up on the idea of learning The people who've never given up on that idea, the people who have managed to, after amassing so much knowledge, remain humble and to the knowledge that there is still more to learn. The people who've managed to endure difficult circumstances and still come out uncontaminated. Those people who, I have this image in my head, Jamie, of, you know, there is, why I talk about this hero with no name. Do you know that we celebrate those who achieve feats? And for example, so the image in my head is there's a log in the path. The children can't get past. And then Jamie comes and he lifts the log and we go, Jamie is the hero. And we document those people. But then there's the Jamie who came through the night and he saw the log and said, oh, kids pass here in the morning. I better move this thing. So Jamie then struggled with this log in the dead of night and oh, finally managed to shift it over. And in the morning, people just walk on the path. The people just come and see an open path. Jamie's not there. That's the person. That's the Jamie I want.
Lovely. So if you could ask the hero with no name a question, what would it be?
I would really ask to say, what is it that has allowed them to avoid the pitfall of our human condition? Because there are so many.
And what do you think they would answer?
They would probably just laugh it off as if it's nothing, that it's something that they would do naturally anyway.
Great, thank you. Final question. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
Yes, I want to talk about a big word just now in the academy and elsewhere, decolonizing. It's a big term. I am grappling with it, and I have seen many versions of it. And I want to say for myself, I am still working out what that means for me. Or whether I need it even, because I see so much in the discourse. There is a lot of, I mean, you know, the kind of the general position is that, you know, colonized peoples have been deprived of their culture, of their history, of their knowledges. Very true. And the manifestation of what we call knowledge as a combined thing, the universal knowledge, the learning system. UNESCO say that, you know, up to 40% of kids learning a language other than their mother tongue. We know all these things. My only question is, I really want to insist on abundance, Jamie. When I came to the UK, I did not know anyone here. And in Scotland, I really want to salute the elders in Scotland because I would be standing at a bus stop freezing. I'm from a very sunny place, as you know. I would be standing at a bus stop and an elderly woman would come and just see the confusion in my face, and she would put her hand on my arm and say, "Are you all right, son? You will not believe what that means." It is such an amazing thing. That moment dissolves anything that we can say theoretically, intellectually, even the polemics will go on their knees at that point. Because that elder woman has just shown me that race and all these categories that we are handed down are absolutely pointless. Because here is a moment where I am being called son. Imagine what more welcome do I want to call Scotland my second home? Is now I'm now called a Zimbabwegian. know, so Jamie, I want to be that moment of me and that elder woman in the Glasgow street in winter. This is my thinking. I don't want to grapple with the violence of colonization. I want to bring beauty and insist on it and say kuanda huya, the more we we are, the more we have. That is my thing.
Thank you so much for answering these questions.
Thanks,
Beautiful responses. Thank you. I'm
Jamie.
sure our listeners will appreciate them. For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.